Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the sun and fun capital of the world. This is Dr. John Stamey, and I want to welcome everybody to ScaryCast, the best hour on paranormal radio. And I love this show. We have the best guests. We have the best co-hosts. And we have the most fun that anybody can possibly have. So anyway, thanks a lot to everybody who's with us tonight, from near and from far, and thanks to our co-hosts. First of all, I will say that Devin Tate is in Thailand, and I told him to be careful and come back and bring pictures. He promised he would, so we'll have pictures from Thailand in about 3 weeks. So he has a hall pass, and we're glad he's part of ScaryCast. Anyway, the queen of ScaryCast, one of the coolest people I've ever met. In fact, three of the coolest people in the world I've ever met are on this podcast. The one and only Robin McCray. How are you doing tonight, Robin?
I'm good. I'm excited to hear what Phil has to say tonight.
Well, you know, I am too, and thanks for being here. You know, it's just wonderful knowing you, having you as a friend, and having you on ScaryCast every week. We love it. And the Surgeon General of ScaryCast, one of the more exciting people that I've ever met, and he's a pretty serious dude about the Revolutionary War, the one and only Dr. Trey Donaway. How you doing tonight, Trey? Hello, Trey.
He may have muted himself, too.
He might have muted himself, too.
I was muted. I don't know
you
who
were
muted me.
You're
but
back. That's
I
great.
I was muted, and now I'm back.
That's right. Now, Trey, we have to have a personal conversation. I think the best thing that you and I talk about every year happens about this time when you walk into a McDonald's and it says, McRib is back. And what is your comment to the first person at a McDonald's when you walk in and they say McRib is back? What do you say to them?
I say I am so excited that they're back, but tell me this, where were they? Where did McRib go? Where has McRib been? Is he hanging out with Shamrock Shakes? Because those are gone, but they'll be back too. I want to know where they go. And is McRib back now, John? Is that right? McRib is back?
I walked into the – I mean, I was in Lizard Man territory recently, and I walked in, and there was a big McRib thing. And all I could think of was you and – where did McRib go?
Yeah, I am excited it's back, but where was he? Where was McRib? Well,
no.
That's just one of those mysteries of the universe. We really never know.
That is exactly right. Well, we're glad you're here to pose one of the biggest mysteries of the universe, which is where did McRib go? But anyway, great to have you here, Trey. And from Houston, our buddy Kyler Smith tonight. How you doing?
Well, I'm currently stuffing my face with some shrimp pasta for dinner, so I'm feeling great right now.
Well, did you bring enough for everybody?
No.
Yeah, as long as you guys can find my address, go ahead.
All right.
We all want some shrimp pasta. Come on, man. Anyway, glad to have you here. It's great. Well, tonight we have a repeat visitor. He's like a repeating phantasm in the ghost world, and he's really a cool guy. That's the only reason I wanted him back, because he's cool and he's got great stories, and he was so entertaining the last time he was here. So from Kansas, one of the most incredible places and the home of the – I think they have the Kansas Bigfoot Conference there. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But anyway, Phil Wirtz. Phil, how are you doing tonight?
You know, I'm doing pretty good, and I thought I was an overthinker, and then I heard about Trey and McRib, and I thought, I've got to step my game up.
Do you have
knowledge of where McRib has been?
You know, I hadn't even crossed my mind, and so I feel like I'm...
I think this is a great topic to, you know, consider some serious research on where was McRib.
There are probably some federal dollars earmarked for it.
Probably.
Well, I kind of think that McRib might have been in Paradise, Kansas, because when we used to do that Murder 123 show, Devin Tate is actually from Paradise, Kansas. I mean, the place is about as big as my living room. It's just, it's amazing what's not there and what's there. So anyway, I think it's probably in Paradise, Kansas is where it went. We're going to ask Devin when he comes back from Thailand where McRib is. So anyway, that's great. All right, now, Phil, I'm going to start the question out, and then I'm going to ask Robin to continue because she is truly our Bigfoot expert. So what new stories do you have for us about Bigfoot? No McRib here. This is all Bigfoot. So what new stories do you have about Bigfoot that you can tell us?
Are you talking to me or Robin?
I'm talking to Phil.
Okay. Well, new stories, you know, where I left off, it was just a background, and I planned on talking about MindSpeak last time, and I got long-winded. And so I just have a continuing saga with discovering new things in the topic that I'm not looking for. It just happens, and I don't plan it, don't look for it, don't know when it's going to happen, but things happen. And it went from visual sightings and weird occurrences to this paranormal aspect of the Bigfoot world that I had heard of but hadn't experienced, and found out through Robin that it's forms of mind speak. I didn't know there were different forms.
Yeah.
So, first of all, Phil,
I'm going to interrupt you, and I'm going to say, tell us about some of the forms of mind speak. That's really interesting.
Well, originally I thought MindSpeak, and I'd heard people talk about it, and I thought by their descriptions that they were hearing voices. And I thought, okay, well, schizophrenics hear voices too, I think. So that could be a plausible explanation for this. But I didn't discount it. I just thought, this is just weird. You're hearing voices in your head. I've never heard voices in my head. And I didn't hear voices in my head for the first few times, but apparently the forms of mind speak can be actual voices in your head. They could also be just feelings or thoughts that you receive, and they can also come from a visual perspective. I don't know how to explain the visual aspect other than it's almost like a dream state, but you're not asleep when it happens, at least not for me. You see things while being fully conscious. You see things in your mind's eye, not with your eyes open, but with your eyes closed, you see things as if you are there, wherever it is that you're seeing. I've heard people call it astral projection or remote viewing or that sort of thing, but I don't have any training in that. Don't even have any real knowledge of it other than some people say this is a thing too. So my original mind speak occurrence was baffling to me because it came just as I was laying down to go to sleep. And my eyes were closed, but I was fully awake. I wasn't even sleeping, but it was bedtime, so I was in a dark room, in bed, eyes closed, and I got a visual of a Sasquatch in a field in broad daylight. And I don't know how much detail you want of that, but I opened my eyes thinking, you know, okay, this is crazy. I'm just seeing things, but I'm awake. I'm not dreaming, and didn't know what to make of it. It made me kind of nervous that I was seeing this very clear, very detailed moving picture in my head of something that I hadn't seen before. And closed my eyes, and as soon as my eyes were closed, I was right back there again. And that happened 3 times in a row. And then it stopped after the third time I opened my eyes, and when I closed them again, there was no more vision. It was just darkness.
Okay, now you've asked a question. You actually posed a question, which I find very interesting. You talked about hearing voices. Now, Dr. Trey, you're a trained surgeon. You're a trained medical doctor. Could you tell us a little bit about hearing voices in your head, and what would the Western medical community say about that?
Well, you know, I mean, if you hear something and nobody else hears it, if you see something and nobody else sees it, then you worry about it, psychosis. I mean, that's the most straightforward answer. But let me ask you this question about your experience. When you had a vision and then it repeated 3 times, was it the exact same vision, or was it like there was something going on and you watched it and then you turned away, and then you, when you look back again, it was a continuation, it was the progression of, if somebody's walking to the, from the left to the right in your vision, and you first see them and they're on the left, and then you look back at it and they're in the middle, and then you look at it again and it's on the right, and that would be a continuum, and you just took snapshots of that vision as you went through, or was it the same static vision?
No, it was a continuation. It was different all 3 times, and on the 3rd time, there was no being, there was no Bigfoot in the scene, which was a little strange. But I thought, well, I didn't know what to make of it, honest with you. And if somebody had told me that they had experienced what I experienced, I would have jumped to the psychosis aspect. I would have thought that, okay, this person is on some kind of psychotropic drug, or they're sleep deprived, they're hallucinating or something. But since it happened to me and none of those were the case, and I think I'm reasonably sane by most people's judgment, I'm a fairly sane person. So I had to, you know, I rule those things out, but I can't explain it. And that's where I turned to Robin. And Robin said, yes, this is absolutely one of the ways that they communicate, and it's a form of mind speak. And I wasn't ready for that. I just didn't know what I'd experienced.
Well, I will tell you that in my practice, someone would come in with a problem, and they were referred to me because the doctor thought they were nuts. And I always assumed that they weren't nuts until I eliminated every other possibility. And even then, I might have not understood, perceived, figured out what was really going on. Most of the time, the pain that was related to me, somebody would have abdominal pain, most typically, as a general surgeon, I saw a lot of that. I'd figure it out. Now, it's not because I'm a genius. It's just that, unfortunately, today in medicine, a lot of times you get to spend about 2 seconds with a patient before they have to be herded out, and you get another patient in. And as a surgeon, I had the luxury of extra time, and I could ask them more questions, and I could do additional physical examination that perhaps was not done the first time around. And usually I could find a real reason. So I'm never quick to tell somebody that something's in their head, because I'm not that smart. And I tend to believe people that aren't. Now, you know, I mean, I've dealt with enough people who are just absolutely bonkers. And that is a person you say, well, they're probably hallucinating something. But if you came into my office and you said that, you know, you had this experience and everything else is checking out, I don't think you would have checked out yourself for a few minutes to have this experience. I'd say it's just something I couldn't explain. So I don't think you're nuts. Just because I can't figure it out or explain it doesn't mean you're crazy.
Well, that makes two of us. I don't think I'm crazy, I think I've got maybe above average intelligence. Test scores show that anyway. And I live a regular life that does not revolve around paranormal or cryptids or anything. This is just
right.
a facet that came along without me necessarily inviting it, looking for it, or anything else. It just happened. I didn't have any explanation for it either. So I don't know what to do with it, and I really don't plan on doing anything with it. It's just sort of matter-of-fact part of my experience, I guess.
Now again, the question would be, is this recurring? I mean, has it happened progressively more and more? Or was it just that one episode three times that you experienced? That would be another question I'd have to see if it was reproducible or if it occurred again. And if it's a consistent kind of thing, then who knows?
Well, I wouldn't say it was consistent because it's not like I can count on it like the first Monday of every month I can tune into Scarycast.
Right.
It's happened several occasions, never the same thing twice.
What are these visions of yours? What is it you see, perceive,
well,
feel?
The first time it happened, I closed my eyes and what I saw through my mind's eye was from the perspective of what I perceived as sitting in a vehicle, a sort of a taller vehicle, like a pickup truck or something, above what I perceive must be a road, though I didn't see a road. But as if I was sitting in the passenger side of a vehicle looking out an open window, that's the perspective. And what I saw was a normal pastoral landscape, much like we have in Kansas, that I didn't recognize. It didn't look like a place I'd ever been before. And there were fence posts in the foreground, wooden fence posts, that were dark in color, which is sort of abnormal for Kansas. They look almost like they were painted black. They were very uniform. I'm guessing that there was wire attached to the fence, barbed wire or something. I didn't see that. I just recognized the fence post and tall grass. I have no idea how tall the grass was, but judging by what I know about rural fence posts, they're, you know, around 4 feet tall, and the grass was two-thirds or three-quarters the way up the post. So it was, you know, pretty good tall grass. And coming across the open field from my left towards me was what I have to describe as a Bigfoot. It was a human-like, bipedal, hair-covered being strolling through the grass towards me, and the grass was about knee-high. I could see knees bending. So I thought, well, if the grass is 3 feet tall based on the height of the fence post, this thing is knee-high in the grass at 3 feet. That's a big thing. I saw color. Everything was in full color. Bright blue sky, not a cloud in the sky, green grass. There was a group of trees to the left of my field of view, or on the left of my field of view, and there was the horizon was lined with what looked like the tops of trees. Like there was a slight rise between myself and the trees that created the horizon line. The trees were right on top of the horizon. And I watched this thing stroll across this field towards me, and I could see the kind of reddish blonde hair moving in the wind, sort of. But I looked at the trees, and there was no wind. And so that's when I realized this thing is actually moving underneath the hair. The hair is flowing with the body movement. It got fairly close. I would guess within about 30 or 40 yards, and it just stopped and looked straight at me. that's when I opened my eyes. Because, and this all happened in 3 or 4 seconds, maybe. It was quick, but all of this played out in 3 or 4 seconds. Opened my eyes to a pitch black room. And it was a what the heck moment. And I thought that was really weird because I'm awake, and that felt like a dreamscape. It felt very surreal. I couldn't hear any noises. Closed my eyes again, and that same pastoral setting was there, but there was no being walking across the grass. So I looked to my right, and as far as I could see, was nothing but grass. And I started panning across the, to my left, across the horizon, looking at the tops of those trees sticking up above the rise in grass. And then I got all the way to the left, and there was a group of trees there on my left, like I stated before, but there was no bee. And I felt kind of a sense of relief that this thing wasn't there anymore. And as I looked at those trees, this same thing stepped out of the trees and just stood on the edge of the trees. And I opened my eyes quickly again because that kind of startled me. I wasn't expecting something to step out of the tree. Opened my eyes again to a pitch black room. And my heart was beating kind of quick because this is all brand new and what is going on and why am I seeing this and what does it mean? And closed my eyes again, and it was back to that same setting, but no being whatsoever. And I looked around again, nothing there. Opened my eyes one last time, just thought to myself, now that was really weird. Closed my eyes.
I bet
and,
you did.
Yeah. Next thing I knew, I was waking up in the morning. Now, the thing that struck me, because I saw this thing really clearly, and I saw facial features and that sort of stuff. I had read somewhere along the line, I don't know if it was legitimate or not, if it was a professional paper. I don't recall, but I remember getting the reading the information that your mind in the dream state cannot make up faces. That if you see faces in your dream, it is those are faces that you have actually seen before, that your mind doesn't create faces. I don't know if that's true or not. But when I thought about that, I thought, well, it couldn't have been a dream then if that's true because I saw this thing's face. So I didn't know where to categorize what I had experienced. Because I, like I say, I wasn't overly tired. I don't do any kind of drug. I drink very little alcohol and haven't had a drop of alcohol in, I would guess, over a year. Not opposed to drinking. I just don't partake very often. So I didn't know what to do. So I reached out to Robin. And then it happened again subsequently in the months that followed. That was clear back in, I want to say, March of this year or April, and it's happened several times since then, but always different scenarios and different things. I'm not always just seeing a full being, moving or walking towards me or standing or anything. Several of my experiences after that were the same scenario, getting ready for bed or being in bed, getting ready, trying to fall asleep. And the things that followed, the episodes that followed, like the episodes, I don't know what else to call it, that followed were just seeing nothing but darkness with my eyes closed, and then faces appearing out of the darkness, just fading in and fading out. And though they were very human-like faces, they weren't human. They all had, I mean, I suppose they could have been. I haven't seen everybody on the planet. But they all had something very distinctive about it, about them. It said, I'm not looking at a human, though I'm looking at something that is very human-like. And it was disturbing because they seemed sort of sinister. The expressions on their faces didn't seem happy or pleasant. And I later, you know, in my awakened days later, you know, in my awakened state, started thinking, now, wait a minute. If these are what Robin says they are, how do I know what is a sinister look? And just like people have resting bitch face. That's the only way I can explain it. Maybe some of these things just look this way. They're not angry. They're not mean. They're not mad at me.
Right.
This is just the way they look. And not all of them look mean or angry, but that's how I got over my I was a little worried when I started seeing these faces come out of the darkness and then fade back into the darkness and looking kind of angry. I started thinking, crap, what have I done? What have I gotten myself into here? Have I opened some sort of door that shouldn't have been opened in my subconscious somehow? That are these demonic things? And Robin talked me off of that ledge too.
Well, here's a question. Here's a question for kind of Robin. Robin, does this sound like when these visions occurred, were they being transmitted specifically to a recipient, or was it broadcasted and his tuner was just dialed to the right channel and saw that? Or is that how it works?
Well, all I can talk about is my own experience and how I learned what I did. And from what the cryptids, meaning Dogman, Bigfoot, whatever, have shared with me, they zero in on who they want it to go to. They can be very specific on everything they do. You can have four people standing there, and if they only want one person to see them, one person to hear them, there's only one person that's going to. If they're mad and they're going to try what they call zap somebody, they can zero in on that one person without it affecting the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can really be that specific. And when people first start hearing mind speak, at first they don't realize there's all these other ways they can get it. So then once they cross that hurdle, it's like you do question your sanity, because it's like, okay, if I'm not getting, like Pat and I will sit next to each other, he'll get stuff that I don't hear, or I'll get stuff that he doesn't hear, because it's not meant for that other person. It's only meant for that one specific person. But say that it would be easier if we had like a science that could definitively prove it. However, that's not an option in this. You know, you end up having to look at multitude of case studies, and this has already happened to me more times than I can count. They'll give me information that nobody else knows, and then I'll give it to the person I'm supposed to give it to, and these people will look at me like I'm nuts, and they're like, how did you know that? Like, I didn't tell you that. Nobody knew that, and that's how it goes down. There was a case where someone had gotten abducted, and I knew how, why, when, where, and whatever the whole area looked like. I didn't get that by myself. It was given to me, and it was later confirmed to be true. So in that instance,
this information is being sent directly to you.
Correct.
As opposed to just scanning the radio frequencies, and then you happen to bump into a signal. Those are more directed messages.
Yeah.
And what would the purpose of that, assuming that this was a directed
image?
That's a great
question.
What is the purpose? What would the expected outcome be? What would this?
Well, I think in Phil's case, they are establishing ongoing contact. They're building a relationship with him. They want him to know who they are, what they are. You know, a lot of times they'll come to you and let you see them in a mental state in your mind or even in a dream before they let you see them physically, because not all people react well when they see them physically. And it's safer for them to come to them in another manner. And it's also what they believe to be safer for you, because they don't want you scared. They don't want you frightened. And they also don't want somebody to pull a gun out and try to blow their heads off. So, you know, it makes it a little bit easier. And I've noticed a lot of times, not only with myself, but with literally hundreds of other people I've talked to, it's a gradual process. It is from the get-go. So they may start out in dream state. Then they may start with visions that you're going to get. Then they may start with you're going to hear them talk, or you'll pick up feelings that they have or whatever. And it continues until it leads up to physical sightings, and then they still continue getting in contact with you through all the ways.
So it sounds like it's an acclimatization process where if you become acclimated to this experience, when it goes from your an image in your mind to actually an image in your presence, you wouldn't freak out as much.
Correct. But then there's also situations where they want to get information to you and it's not possible for them to be right there, or there's some kind of, I don't want to say danger because that's not the word I'm looking for, but there's something going on where they don't feel comfortable coming forward, so they'll give you that information that way. You know, it's not much different than when they get hold of us and say, oh, we need this, this, and this. We, you know, go out and leave it here or whatever. Or, you know, if they want you to bring them certain foods out to a gifting spot or whatever, they let you know.
Right. Now Robin, so I'm gonna ask you to put a hold on that. This is Dr. John. I wanted to say, number one, thank goodness we're on WLSC, AM and FM, Loris Conway, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the home of Banana Jack in the Morning and Banana Jack and Marshall Biddle, 3 to 5 p.m. on Drive Time, and I'll tell you what, it's a lot of fun. And I know Bigfoot's with us because we're hearing a lot of rustling of papers, and we're going to ask Bigfoot, that he's going to have to kind of like stop that a little bit because we would appreciate that. And now I'm going to ask Dr. Trey and Robin a joint question. Phil, is that okay if I can take over for a couple of minutes?
No, your show.
No, it's your show because it's everyone's show. That's on here. But the whole point
I want
is,
royalties.
Okay, well, we'll all get royalties. But I'll tell you what, I've got an important question. And this came up when I was investigating the Sydney Monsters, and I was talking with Richard Oliver, who's an attorney, and he's kind of like the historian in Haber City, North Carolina. And he said that the lady who saw the Sydney Monsters, that they don't know if they're Bigfoot, they don't know if they're grays or what kind of monster they are, but she said, and Robin, you'll remember this conversation that we had, number one, she was able to communicate with them when she was taking a shower, and number two, she was able to communicate with them when she was driving. Now, Robin, could you please expound on that, and then I'm going to ask Trey a specific question about this. So, Robin, do you remember that conversation?
Yeah, there's reasons for it.
You're driving, or when you're driving,
yeah,
or when you are, yeah.
I asked the forest people about it years ago because it made no sense to me. I would ask them a question. I would get no answer. Get me in a car. We're moving down the road. And it was like nothing but answers. Or if I was, it's more noticeable if you have water above your head coming down on you like a shower.
Yep.
Instead of, per se, a bath. What you're doing, number one, when you're driving, you're moving between time and space. So when they contact you specifically, like if I was a Sasquatch, which I'm not, but I was going to contact Phil directly. That would be my communication between myself and him, okay? If you're let's say you go to Walmart, and you're talking to your friend who went to Walmart with you, okay? You're specifically talking to that one person. That doesn't mean the people around you are not going to try to eavesdrop. And so this is basically the same situation. So when you are driving, you're moving, according to them, you're moving between time and space, which makes it much harder for outside energies or beings to try to listen in. So you get a lot more clarity. You get a lot more information while you're moving down the road. The other thing with the water is when you have water coming at the top of your head and coming down, you're washing away any negative energies, you're washing away any attachments, And so that's another way. You're more clear. You're more open. And they do. You would be amazed whether it's a ghost or whether it's a Bigfoot or whether it's a dogman or an elemental, dimensional, whatever. You get a lot more information when you have water coming from the top of your head down or driving in the car.
Well, you know, that's really interesting because this attorney, and he is a very serious attorney. He's about 75 years old. He's one of the top attorneys in the entire area. He said, the lady who saw the Sydney Monsters said that she was approached by them when she was in the shower and when she was driving. Now, Dr. Trey, I've got to ask you a question I've hoped I would never ask you. I have visions when I am either driving or I'm in the shower. And I've had, you know, one of them is a vision that turned out, it goes in John LeMay's magazine, Strange West. And it's a really interesting story. But these are visions that I have in my head. And I've had them in those two specific instances. Now, first of all, and you may not have an answer to this question, but what do you know about visions, psychic, religious, or otherwise? Do you have any knowledge or have any training of that?
No.
Okay.
Pretty much.
All right.
No. However, okay. I will say I saw a headline the other day, and it says, "Why do you get ideas in the shower?" And I'm trying to look that up right now. Why do you get ideas in the shower? And it was just a few days ago.
Trey, the second that you find that, please send it to me, because that's going to be very important to this discussion that we're having. And Robin, so you concur with the fact that people likely have visions in the shower and driving, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, science of why you have great ideas in the shower. Why do our best ideas come in the shower? Why we have our best ideas in the shower? So just search, why do you get ideas in the shower? In National Geographic, Mental Floss, Buffer.com. So there
okay,
you go.
Okay, I'll write that down.
But,
why do you have ideas in the shower? And that's important.
Now I will say, mind your mindless tasks. It talks about you're more likely to have creative epiphanies when you're doing something monotonous, like fishing, exercising, showers. These routines don't require much thought. You flip the autopilot. This frees up your unconscious to work something else. I will tell you, two of my best ideas came to me, one in the shower and one mowing the lawn on a riding lawnmower. So,
yeah, because they're moving. But
your mind goes wandering. You leave your brain to play a quiet game of discovery, I guess.
Well, I'd like to point out one thing, if I can, is that there is a difference in getting an idea and getting mind speak. That's not the same thing.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I mean, an idea is something that might occur to you, and whether it's good, bad, or whatever. Mind speak is another being, creature, whatever, specifically reaching out, contacting you specifically with any kind of information, thought, feeling, whatever, random that isn't yours. So there is that little bit of difference, just so that, you know, the listeners understand that that's two different things.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. And I appreciate this discussion because these are things that Robin has spoken with me about, and I found that they're true, that at least they work for me. So now, Phil, I'd like to come back to you, and I'd like to let you pick up where you left off, and I apologize for interrupting, but I thought this would be kind of an interesting thing to talk about. You okay? I hope you're okay with that.
No, I'm fine. And it made me think of something that I think there's a difference between having ideas and in the shower, driving, or wherever, and mind speak, in that the idea is a thought, which mind speak can be, apparently, or having an idea can be a visual, which mind speak evidently can be. But having an idea rarely involves hearing voices,
exactly.
other than your own. Now, I've had all three, and in the course of just this year, none of which I'm ready for when it happens. And I even had not a mind speak. I asked Robin about it after it happened because it kind of shook me up. Let me go back. I was, after the first occurrence, I was talking to Robin via Messenger and was explaining to her what had happened. And she told me, well, look, I'm talking to them right now. And I said, what do you mean you're talking to them? She said, I'm talking to the ones I was that reached out to you. And I said, oh, really? And she said, he's the one that threw the stick or something like that. Now, I'd had an experience that I had related to Robin about being out in the middle of nowhere fishing on a creek, hearing some strange things, getting some weird feelings, just a weird vibe going on that I hadn't gotten there before, reacting to those as if they may be Sasquatch related. And in my mind, asking them if it was okay if I was there, did they want me to leave or what? And at the point, at the very end, I caught a fish, held it up. I didn't see anything around me, but I held it up and kind of turned a 360 with it and asked in my mind, would you like this or do you want me to put it back? And a stick was thrown over a tree towards me. It landed about 10 feet right in front of me. And I immediately this fell out of a tree, but I looked up as I heard it coming through the trees, and it was on an arch. It was falling on an arch through the tops of a big hackberry tree. And I heard it coming through the trees before I saw it. And that's what I looked up to see what that noise was, because it almost sounded like a bird flying away and hitting leaves as it flew. And I saw this stick coming end over end towards me, and it landed in the creek about 10 feet in front of me. And it was basically the size of my forearm, length and circumference. So it didn't fall out of the top of the trees, that being that big, because the limbs that it was coming through were, you know, finger size or less. So this big branch didn't fall from the tops of the trees. I say big branch, a thick branch, didn't come through the tops of the trees. So I had explained this to Robin, in an earlier time. And then I was talking to her about, and she said that she was talking to the individual that had thrown the stick. And we hadn't been talking about that. And I said, oh, really? She said, yeah, there was four others or three others. I don't remember what the number was. And I told Robin through Messenger, I typed out, well, let them know that I don't mean them any harm. And as soon as I hit send, I heard in my head a voice that wasn't my own that said, we know. And 2 seconds later, Robin replied with, they know. And it kind of gave me the chills, because I was like, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. How did I hear this? It sounded like a deep male voice that I'd never heard before. It wasn't my own. It just said, we know.
They just said, you believe us now.
So, you know, that was early on. Then I got the faces appearing out of the darkness. Then the most disturbing thing, and what I find odd about this, is if I thought there was three types of mind speak in order of impactfulness, it would be thoughts, voices, and then visuals. But mine happened the opposite, so that maybe what I feel like is most impactful to me is not what they feel is most impactful, because I went from getting these very vivid visuals that I would have been much better with had they been dreams, but I wasn't asleep, so I know they couldn't have been dreams. And then I got this voice coming through, which kind of surprised me. None of it really scared me. The faces startled me at first because they looked sinister, but then once I, you know, decided that maybe that's just the way they look and they're not angry, upset at all, then that uneasy feeling went away. But then one night I was, again, and it always, it's never in the middle of the day, it's never when I'm driving down the road or in the shower, it's always when I am trying to relax, lay my head down and go to sleep. I had just laid my head on the pillow, lights out, 9 o'clock at night, not even late. And in my ear, not in my head this time, I heard somebody whisper loudly, "Leave me alone." And I was like, whoa. Now, it startled me enough that I sat up and swung a fist over my left shoulder, thinking that someone was standing over my bed and just whispered into my ear. It just flipped me out. And I was pretty shaken up with that because I didn't know that is. So I got religion real quick. and I said in my mind, you're not welcome here. And I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I basically went on a mental tirade saying that you're not allowed to visit me if that's the tone you're going to take. And everything stopped for a couple of months. It was just quiet. There was no more visuals, no more audible stuff inside my head or outside my head. It just stopped. And I was cool with that because I didn't invite any of it and I didn't know what to do with any of it. And then the last thing that happened was just about a month ago, middle of September. Again, just getting ready to try to go to sleep. And it was a vision again. And this time it was a little different. And remember now, I said that I had these things in reverse order from what I thought was the most impactful. This time, when I closed my eyes, I just saw a bright light. It was kind of fuzzy on the edges. And this morphed into a scene of a place that I'd never been that I'm aware of. It's just not part of my memory. But it seemed as though we were on a mountain or a tall hill, though I couldn't see a background. It was just white in the back. But this being was standing on a large rounded rock. And it wasn't a freestanding rock. It was a part of the land that he was standing on. It just happened to be bare rock. And it was a hulking figure of a Sasquatch. I assume it was a Sasquatch. It was a very human-like, but hair-covered being on two legs. And it was knees bent, kind of half squatting and kind of hunched over in the shoulders. And my initial thought was, this guy's old, because he just had the kind of a, you know, he would have been Yoda if he'd had a cane, a giant Yoda without the big ears covering him.
Okay.
And it just stared at me and I looked back at it, but I couldn't make out its face because of the angle of wherever the light was coming from. But I could see his kind of shimmering, almost golden hair. And it was long and very silky looking, covering its entire body. But what I recognized, or what struck me as the most awesome about it, was the size and bulk of this thing. It was like Lou Ferrigno times three, enormous shoulder width, enormous thickness from chest to back, a smaller waist, and huge thighs and calves, and arms, deltoids. I mean, it was just enormous, powerful looking thing, like a big bull, but standing on two human-like feet. And it just looked at me, or I assume it was looking. I mean, like I said, I didn't really see its face. It was kind of dark where its face was. And but it was facing me, and it just stood there for a few seconds. Overwhelming feeling of calmness and a feeling of everything's okay, you're safe, there's not a problem. And it turned and walked over the other side of the big outcrop of stone that it was standing on and disappeared. And opened my eyes, it was gone. Didn't come back. And that was the last thing that happened. But I got this, what struck me was this overwhelming feeling of calmness that I got from it.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so,
really cool.
Yeah, really.
I mean, that's really cool. It's like, you know, there was a pause here because I said, oh, he's finished. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So what are your, okay, let me ask you this. I'm going to have to interview you quickly here. Are you, not because we're running out of time, but I want a quick interview. What was your takeaway from this whole experience? If you could put it in three or four sentences, what was your takeaway from this?
My takeaway is that the world isn't everything that we see, that there's more going on than we know, and that unless you are 100% absolutely open to accepting that, you can't see it. That you're only, I don't want to say allowed, but you're only able to see these kinds of things if you accept that they're possible. And I think the average person doesn't want to go. I just had this conversation today with a friend of mine, and without any details during the conversation, I just had mentioned to her that I had experienced things in the last few years that are remarkable and unbelievable. And she said, like what? And I said, well, they have to do with cryptids and the paranormal. And her response was, well, I don't have time to go down another rabbit. Surprise me. She didn't discount me. She didn't blow it off. But that is the thing that I think most people are programmed by society to only see what their mind or what their eyes can see, to only believe what they can physically touch or in some cases just what they're told exists. So they're not open to the possibility of other things existing. And that's where I'm at.
Okay.
I agree.
Robin, yes, would you make a comment? Then I'm going to hit Dr. Trey, and then I'm going to hit Kyler. Robin?
I agree with him.
What is yours?
I agree with him 110%. And we've talked about this before. You know, we have been raised in a world and a society where we believe certain things. And we believe certain things exist. We believe certain things happen as a reason. They have science to back up those things, or even if they don't have the science to back up these things, the masses tell us this is what it is, and we rely on that. And what happens is, in my opinion, it blocks us from seeing the things that are out there. Because you, when your body, and I've had this happen to myself, I'll see a glimpse of a foot running through the field or whatever. And like today, I was checking on a friend of mine, and she has security cameras. And due to her health, I check her security cameras now and then to make sure she's not laying down in the backyard or down in the house or whatever. And I looked out there, and there's a foot out there in the yard, you know, which she knows they're there. I know they're there. But it's one of those things that no matter how many times you see them, and your brain doesn't process that you're seeing what you actually are because you've been led to believe that these things don't exist. And what happens is it blocks you. It truly blocks you. And I've said this multiple times. The world that we have been taught exists never did. There might have been pieces that were part of it, but it's not the world that is the reality of it. There's other things out there. A Sasquatch is one of millions that are out there that we've all been told were mythical or they didn't exist or they were created for a cartoon or whatever the reason is. But because we were always told that they didn't exist, this is what we believe. You know, we're being the good little puppets. We're doing what we're told. And so it prevents you from seeing what is actually there. So I have to agree with Phil 1,000,000,000%.
Well, that's interesting, Robin, and thanks for those comments. Because, I believe in Sasquatch. The only reason that I believe in Sasquatch or Bigfoot, because I've seen it about 7 times, and I jumped out of my chair when I saw one just go walking by your window. And
yeah.
I jumped to the door, and nothing was there. We were having lunch, probably about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I know what I saw. I mean, you know, I'm kind of crazy and fun, but Robin, I think you'll admit, I'm not a crazy guy.
No.
And if I say I saw something, I mean it with all my heart and mind. I mean, I do. And it's like, I don't know what to say. Well, I do know what to say. I'm just very lucky that I've seen them. And I've had 2 experiences up in the mountains of North Georgia that are absolutely terrifying. And I'll go into those later. I mean, they're in my book, Look Up in the Sky, version 3. And it's very interesting what I've been through. And Phil, you know, I know what I've seen. And I've talked about this on numerous shows, whether it's William Shatner's Unexplained or Clyde, what's his name? I can't even remember his last name. Starts with an L. But Clyde's Ground Zero, or, you know, Wellness Wednesday, which is getting ready to air on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. I mean, I've talked about these things, and I'm not. Now, Dr. Trey, you there?
I'm here.
Okay. I'm going to probably ask you, I'm sorry, I'm going to ask you the most difficult question I've ever asked you. I talk about cryptids, and I've told you stories about them. Now, oh God, Trey, I'll have to call you tomorrow because I'll have to debrief you on this one. But I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to ask you the most personal question I've ever asked you. Do you think I'm a crazy guy when I tell you this stuff that I've seen?
No. You're just telling me what you've experienced. You know, I've never experienced a cryptid. I'd like to experience a cryptid. I think it'd really be cool, but I haven't. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
You know what, Trey? That took the most courage I've ever had to muster, because I consider you to be one of the very best friends that I've ever had in the world. And when I just asked you that question, I really appreciate your answer. I do, because I know what I've seen, and I'm going to close my part of this discussion with what I've seen. I was up in Lakemont, Georgia, which is that's the world headquarters of the Bigfoot. Robin knows all about this. But the fact is, you know, I'm standing there. I went to see my friend Will Rodriguez. It was his birthday. I saw it was his birthday on Facebook. So I go up there and say, hey, Will, and he's got a couple of buddies there. We talk a little bit, and he was very nice to introduce me to them, and it was really cool. So I said, you know, Will, I'm just going to go up there. It's a rainy, cold day, and I love these days. And I'm going to go up there at your Airbnb cabin, and I'm just going to stand there. He said, sure, knock yourself out. I said, yeah, I'm going to do it a little bit, then I've got to go see the Chamber of Commerce. They're wonderful people, and I'll tell you what, they are the best people in the world, the Chamber of Commerce in Clayton in Rabun County, Georgia. So I go up there. And I'm standing there, and I'm just looking around, and I'm hearing the rain fall on the leaves. And all of a sudden, I see something that's about 3 feet by 4 feet, about 100 feet from me, and it got launched up into the air. It went over a tree that was 50 feet tall, and it came crashing down. And at that moment, I knew 2 things. Number one, that was not normal. Number two, a Bigfoot did that because they know me up there in Lakemont, Georgia. And it's like, well, what are you going to say? So I waved. I said, hey, thank you for saying hello. And I said to them, thank you for not scaring me to death. Because I'll tell you what, had a Bigfoot just come walking down the dirt road in front of my buddy Will's house, I would have had a stroke. Almost had a stroke the last time that I had an interaction with him there in Lakemont, Georgia. But it would have scared me to death. And I kind of chuckled. I said, you know, they knew what to do. Just throw something up and get an amazing sound in the woods. And maybe I'll realize, maybe John's not so dumb. Maybe he'll realize that this is a Bigfoot. And I did. And I smiled, waved, and I said, hey, thanks a lot. And the woods got so quiet. Now, Robin, I'm going to ask you, does that sound like the behavior of a very smart Bigfoot that wouldn't want to scare me to death to just say hello?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to begin with, they are extremely, extremely intelligent. Okay, we may, you know, do the computers and those kinds of things, but to begin with, that technology we didn't even get from us. We learned it. And we excelled at it, but we didn't come up with it on our own. You don't go from, you know, clanking rocks together and hitting each other with clubs to computers and cell phones. But regardless, they are highly, highly intelligent. It's a different civilization for them. It's a different culture. But we should never let that difference lead us to believe that they are less intelligent than we are.
Oh, absolutely not. They're one of the most intelligent species of beings on this planet, maybe the most. And that sounds strange. I don't have any National Science Foundation propaganda to back me up. But I can tell you they are extremely, extremely smart. And when whatever Bigfoot that was just wanted to play with me and say, hey, buddy, I'm here. And I waved, and it got so quiet. That is, Robin, that is the quietest, I don't know if that's a correct word or not, that is the quietest it ever got anywhere in my life. And I knew it was Bigfoot saying,
they
hey.
They're pretty compassionate.
Yeah.
You know,
something
really
important
are.
About, I mean, something important about that story that a lot of people should hear, though, is that this happened to you and you walked away without a scratch. And so many people think that these beings are these bloodthirsty beasts out there to rip your head off. And I would say if that whatever object was thrown in the air was able to be done, it could have also have landed on you. If it had been intentionally trying to hurt you, it would have. And so they have a different way of communicating, but that doesn't mean that the way that they communicate only indicates that you should be afraid of them.
They are absolutely incredible. And I learned that from this experience and another one, which I will, all you have to do is go by Look Up in the Sky, third edition, and you can see the real story that I had. It's one of the most terrifying moments of my life. I thought I was going to have a stroke. It would have been my second one. And thank you, Dr. Trey Dunaway, for making sure that I was okay when I had my first one. So, Trey, first of all, thanks a lot for being such a great friend, okay?
Sure, John. That's what friends
are
for.
Yeah, it was great, and I really appreciate it. And, you know, I think we've talked about some good Bigfoot stories, and I tell you what, Phil, I'm getting kind of addicted to this. I like your stories. You want to come back again first of the year?
Sure.
Now, I know it sounds weird first of the year, but you know what? We only got 2 months till January.
Right. We got a lot of holiday stuff between now and then.
That's right. So we're going to have you back on, and I'll make sure that I don't have a problem with your date and everything. So we'll do that. Robin, will you be here when Phil is going to be here?
Oh, definitely.
Dr. Trey, it's always a pleasure. You coming back?
Of course.
Okay, great. Now, Kyler Smith, you have been quietly sitting and waiting. I'm going to give you the last question and the last word tonight on ScaryCast. So what is your last question or word from either Phil, from Robin, or from Dr. Trey? Give us your question and do your answer.
Yeah, I've been kind of sitting back and soaking all this in because the mind speak thing just blows my mind. I'm trying to get a hold of the sounds or the hearing, because I know, like, when you hear something from a dream, it's completely different from hearing something that's right behind you or right next to you. I mean, Phil, you pretty much said it, like something, you felt like something whispered and it was right behind you, so you got up and you know, it scared you. So is that your kind of like difference in, you know, your perception of hearing something in a dream versus mind speak, where you hear something mind speak to you and it literally sounds like it is directly next to you?
Robin McCray, yeah, please. Well, first of all, Phil, and then Robin, answer these questions.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I can differentiate between what I heard in my ear versus what I heard in my head. They were completely different sounds, but I don't know if they're a different thing. If that makes sense. I've heard some people say that, well, they can be completely cloaked or invisible and come through walls, and very well could have been something right there behind me. I don't know. I didn't see anything. The room was dark. I swung and I didn't hit anything, and that's all I got was the loud whisper right in my ear. So I don't know that I can differentiate between what I heard in my ear versus what I heard in my head. They're different, but they may have been the same thing.
Okay.
There's a different path.
And Robin, what do you think?
I'm going to be really rude here for a second and ask Kyler to repeat that because the phone blanked out and I didn't hear the question. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine. I was curious because he was talking about, you know, his maybe the vision or like vision
uh-huh.
versus dreams or mind speaking. Like, is the sound. The sound is this. What can you tell about the difference from maybe a dream sound or like something? Because the reason I'm asking, I guess this would help a little bit. The reason I'm asking is because I think I've had a moment like this, because I was just laying down to fall asleep. And then as soon as I was about to fall asleep, there was this incredibly loud sound that felt like it was right next to me, but it was almost like it was outside.
Uh-huh.
But I wasn't dreaming. I didn't see anything. No one was outside. It was probably 2 a.m. And if this mind speaking is sounding like it's next to you or you can actually hear it with your ears instead of your mind, then that's just trying to make this connection.
First of all, in your teenage years, you got more of this stuff and you like didn't know what to make of it. So anyway, I'm just fine. That's what I just got told, that they've tried to contact you before. So
it scared the crap out of me.
I know. And they weren't trying to scare you. What they can do is a couple of things. Okay. When you get it in your head, you can get a vision, you can get words, you can hear it a certain way. But when they actually, either one of two things, they come in through the wall through spirit form, just like Phil had stated. And they will literally lean right next to your ear. Like, I've had them do that, and I don't even know they're there, other than I can feel the energy radiate from them. And it's like you can almost feel their breath on you. But at the same time, they can also do what they call a projection. And so they can project whatever they want you to feel or hear, almost like they're standing right there, even when they're not. Okay? So don't take it to feel like it's any less real than what it was, because you turned around and did not see anything. It can be terrifying. It really, Pat and I have that happen all the time here. It drives us crazy. I mean, I went to go do laundry one day and I'm leaning over the washer and I'm putting clothes in it. And somebody leans, like, it was right next to my ear, and they said, "Will you listen to me?" And I'm like, good
Jeez.
Lord. You guys talk to me in my sleep. You talk to me when I'm awake. You know, 5 minutes apiece to do the laundry is all I'm asking for.
It's a warning, right?
Yeah. I mean, really.
Robin, that is now your statement to the world. 5 minutes to do the laundry in peace is all you want, right?
Considering the muddy footprints that I find throughout my house, and they keep messing with my hose in the back. And I know it's the kids. I'll get up in the morning and my hose is, and my fence, my yard's fenced in. And there's no gate to get out of it. You have to go into the house to get out of it. I did not put a gate on it because I did not want the dogs to be able to get out of the gate. So, and it's like a 5.5-foot fence. The only thing that can get over that fence are when the foots and the dogmen come in the yard. And then they just jump it. And I'll go to bed. Everything is fine. I'll wake up and my hose will be on and half my yard's underwater. You know, sometimes there's muddy footprints. Sometimes they're not. And then the dogs play in the mud all day long. And then my house becomes a mud bog. Like, literally, you could bring in trucks and have a mud bog in here. Considering the amount of laundry I do on their behalf, they need to give me 5 minutes to do it. But, yeah, Kyler, don't think it's any less real. They can project that voice onto you so that you feel like it's really there, but they also 100% could be standing right next to you. And they just keep saying that when you were in your younger teens that they tried to talk to you like that before, but you wouldn't listen and you didn't like it very much.
Hmm.
So I would try to sit back and maybe think, I'm not thinking that they did it a lot, but there was at least 3 incidences, so you may want to think about it.
Okay.
I think they're getting bolder now because they didn't feel like you acknowledged them then, which you might not have known about them then. You know?
I highly doubt I was even paying attention, yeah.
Robin, he's a co-host of ScaryCast, so he might be listening now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, look, I want to say thank you, Robin. I want to say thank you, Phil. I want to say thank you, Dr. Trey and Kyler. It's been the most fun. I'm going to do a call around between tonight and tomorrow because poor old Dr. John's got to get some sleep. But I'll say this. This has been the most wonderful scary cast we've had in a long, long time. I wanted to thank everybody, all of our co-hosts. And we're even going to thank Devin Tate from over there in Bangkok, Thailand. We hope he gets back safely. I didn't want to say that to him in person, but if he doesn't, we'll go over there and get him. We'll make sure he comes back because some of those countries are pretty scary. Not like ScaryCast. ScaryCast is more fun. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. It's been great. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Next week we have Marshall Biddle and myself talking about Horry County ghosts. We're going to be talking about the Gray Man, and we're going to be talking about Alice of the Hermitage. The next week, November 7th, is my birthday. I'm sorry, but we're going to celebrate my birthday with one of my best friends in the world, Sonya Thompson of The Walking Dead, one of the top zombies in the world. She was the lady zombie that was on the front cover of Time magazine. And then November 14th is the highlight of the entire year. Dacre Stoker, the nephew of Bram Stoker, who wrote Dracula, is going to be on here, a special 2-hour episode, and we are so excited to have Dacre Stoker. And we've got great guests, another bunch of A-listers going on through December. So please join us for ScaryCast. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next time. Same bat time, same bat channel, which is 9 p.m. Eastern. And I've got to figure out how to close this show down because you know what, the British lady, she's pretty tough. So anyway, thanks a lot. Everybody say good night.
Night, everybody.
Good night, guys. Hi, John. Good night, everybody.